coming up.
We all feel it, especially because our community is so small.
For Vault Studios, I'm Will Johnson. You're listening to The Daily Crime. In June, a body was found on the University of Washington's campus in Seattle. Police have identified the victim as a 56-year-old woman. They are still searching for her killer.
She was a sweet person. She was very kind to allow me to come in her home when I had nowhere to go. And so when I heard about this news, I felt really sad because she was just a sweet, sweet person.
I'm joined now by King 5 news reporter Sebastian Robertson in Seattle, Washington. I want to talk to you about this case, Mavis Nelson. Her body was found back in mid to late June. What do we know about her a little bit before we get started?
Yeah, this story is kind of a heavy one. Mavis Nelson was a mother of three, working jobs throughout her career, odd jobs here and there. And by some accounts, you know, she had attended some college. She was 56 years old, and her body was found in June 20th, in Seattle. It was pretty close to the University of Washington on this trail called the Burt Gilman Trail, which is like a bike path that goes for quite a ways here in Western Washington. She was found in June, but wasn't identified until August, and a medical examiner determined that Nelson was killed by stabbed multiple times.
And do we know how family then found out, or how she was identified, or how this all came together for investigators?
Yeah, so, you know, this all starts with somebody, presumably a jogger, somebody on the trail reporting, you know, a dead body, which, you know, as heavy as that is, you know, those kind of things happen. Seattle police responded, University of Washington police got there, and they determined, you know, she had been stabbed, but there was no, you know, smoking gun, no pun intended. There were, you know, nobody spotted nearby, nobody witnessed the crime happening. So this, you know, kind of got put on the back burner, as it were, and that's, you know, my words, not Seattle police. Her body was taken to the medical examiner, and they determined that the death was a stabbing. They also positively ID'd her and determined that her name was Mavis Nelson. And in IDing her, it turned out that she was a missing person. So our assignment desk here in Seattle, Kendra Gilbert, did what she normally does, where she takes missing persons' names and then we'll do a search on social media to see if it pops. Because, you know, hopefully, if you go missing, somebody's looking for you, and they'll post on Facebook and Twitter, and that did happen. But in this case, the story went a step further because it turns out that Mavis was missing, but she was also a tribal member of the Yakima tribe and was listed as a missing Indigenous woman. So Kendra found her name listed on a Facebook page for missing Indigenous persons, which, you know, as we'll talk about, is a big issue here in Washington State and also the rest of the country, but found out that, yeah, you know, she had a family, she had people in the Yakima tribe that were looking for her. I spoke to her sister, Ernestine Morning Owl, and she was able to call me, step away from her job at a casino here in Eastern Washington on the other side of the Cascades, and said she'd kind of lost touch with her sister over the years and didn't even know she was missing until she got that tragic phone call, you know, over the summer saying that her sister had been murdered.
It's been tragic to a lot of us over here, to my family over there that live in the Yakima Valley, and to the other family that she was raised with in Goldendale, because she was fun-loving. She always liked to laugh. She always was a hardworking lady.
And so this, you know, unfortunately, the family was telling me, goes into you know, another statistic of missing Indigenous women. The good part for the family, you know, if there is a bright spot in this, is they did get that closure that their case is not one of these unsolved homicides involving Indigenous victims. So they are able to move forward with some sort of burial, memorial, and I guess that is kind of the bright spot for them in what is otherwise a tragic story.
And just to clarify, and I'm not sure if you'll have this answer, but she was reported missing. Do we know if she was reported missing sometime before her murder for any length of time? In other words, had she vanished perhaps on her own accord for a while and then this horrible event happened? Or do we know any more details about that?
Well, the timeline is a little, I don't want to say confusing, but you know, that's the thing with adults. If you want to kind of go off the grid a little bit, if you don't want to call family members back, there's nothing mandating you to keep in touch with your family, let them know your whereabouts, et cetera, et cetera. So by all accounts, she was, you know, in Seattle, living her life, working. She had grown children and kind of just going about her day-to-day. At some point, enough time passed that somebody said, hey, you know, we haven't seen Mavis in a while. We can't get a hold of her. Unclear if that happened before or after her murder. But by all indications, you know, she hadn't done her normal checks with family members. They got worried, reached out to Seattle police, and then filed that formal missing persons report.
Sebastian, has anything come out of the investigation, any suspects that we know of at this point?
No suspects listed by Seattle police. No arrest has been made. That doesn't mean that they're not working this, you know, by any means. But as of the time that we reported the story, which was, you know, within the last week or so, no leads announced, no suspects released, no arrests made.
Sebastian, the Bureau of Indian Affairs reports that Native Americans are murdered, sexually assaulted, become the victims of violent crime at higher rates than the national average. This case certainly puts a spotlight on that really sobering statistic.
Yeah, and especially in Washington State, where we have many tribal members, both what they call federally recognized tribes, and tribes that aren't, you know, recognized by the federal government. That's kind of a different topic in itself. Here in Washington State, there was a task force put together by legislators, and they determined that, you know, 2,268 unsolved homicides are in Washington State. 5% of those involve an indigenous victim, but indigenous people make up less than 2% of the state population. So they are disproportionately impacted by this. There are also statistics that Native Americans are murdered, sexually assaulted, become victims of violent crimes at higher rates than the national average. As you were saying, that's to the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And this is an issue that really in the last couple of months, you know, different lawmakers have kind of proposed, I don't want to say solutions, but some systems to try to level this out a little bit. You know, our Attorney General Bob Ferguson in Washington State, he's asking state leaders to fund a cold case unit focusing on unsolved murders of indigenous people. And a new kind of program started here on July 1st. Washington State Patrol launched something that they call MIPA, which is the Missing Indigenous Persons Alert System. And this is similar to kind of like an Amber Alert when a child goes missing, or a Silver Alert, you know, when a senior goes missing, and it kind of gets plastered all over billboards, those digital billboards that you see on highways. And a lot of times you'll get a push alert if you're in a meeting, everybody's phone kind of blows up at once. That just went live over the summer. And I actually heard my phone buzz a couple days ago. And this works with, because, you know, as you know, tribes are sovereign nations, and they have their own governments, they have their own police forces. So Washington State Patrol, our state patrol, is going to be working with these tribal liaisons. And there is some criteria. So if there is a missing indigenous person, there has to be, you know, an active police report that classifies them as a missing person. There also has to be enough information about their last whereabouts, a possible vehicle description, et cetera, which is, you know, it's kind of a low bar for a missing person, which is a good thing, because then it goes into this alert system, and that is intended to bring more eyes to the issue, and yet to see if it'll yield some results. But I think a lot of people in that community will tell you that it's definitely a step towards a solution for a problem that tribal men and women have been dealing with for, you know, generations.
Well, Sebastian, we hope your reporting on this case and coverage of this case will continue to bring attention and awareness to what's going on. And we hope to hear some updates on this investigation into the murder of this 56-year-old woman in Seattle. Sebastian, thanks for being here with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Will. Good chatting.
You've been listening to The Daily Crime, a podcast from Vault Studios. Be sure to check out our other podcasts, including Bardstown, The Officer's Wife, and our weekly show, True Crime Chronicles. For Vault Studios, I'm Will Johnson.